welcome back to This Week on Channel 9. I'm Brian Keller.
I'm Dan Fernandez.
And I'm Steve Ouellette.
Steve, a friend of mine from Florida. We've got Go Gators.
Hey, come on. Yeah, give the chomp.
Yeah, I'm a
We got to pull up the embarrassing picture here.
Oh, yeah.
See, now you missed it. There you go. Yes, that's right.
So awesome. Steve is actually interviewing at Microsoft soon.
Yes, sir.
So he's up here visiting, getting a lay of the land.
Enjoying the rain, you know.
But he's a PhD student at the University of Florida doing some really cool computer science work. We'll talk more about that later. But we wanted to have him on the show because he's a developer in the trenches, uses Visual Studio every day, probably codes more than you and I do nowadays.
Ouch. So, thanks for throwing both of us under the bus there.
Boom, 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 boom.
Yep.
So let's get right into it. Bunch of consumer news actually happened this week. First thing was Microsoft Store launched. So store.microsoft.com is the address. And so now you can actually buy products, and some products are actually available for digital downloads. So you can actually just download them, check out, and pay now, and actually download without having to receive the CD.
Oh, nice.
Others are actually CD or DVD, and you can actually check on them. But this is everything from office, hardware, games. What else am I missing?
Keyboard, Windows, Visual Studio, Visual Studio Team System, Team Foundation Server.
Expression Suite, So check it out. Kind of nice that it actually exists.
Yep, absolutely.
Cool. So, Xbox Live.
Yeah, big week for Xbox Live, or for Xbox 360 in general. So if you turned on your console starting on Wednesday, you would have gotten the download for the firmware update. And, you know, originally I was a little bit skeptical because, you know, I'd kind of grown accustomed to finding where everything is in the Xbox dashboard.
The blades, yeah.
The blades, exactly. But I have to say, I really like the new experience. It installed in under 10 minutes, got everything up and going. I'm still trying to fumble my way through and figure out exactly where everything's at because it's moved around. But it's a really nice experience, and my favorite part, we were checking this out the other day, is the Netflix streaming.
Yeah.
I think this might be US only right now. I don't know for our friends around the world. I don't know. Hopefully it'll come around the world because it's just a really slick experience. They don't allow you to browse and search Netflix online, so you still have to use your computer to go add the movies to your instant queue so that they show up. But I did a test. I was sitting on the couch with my laptop, found a movie, added it to my queue, and it popped up in about 2 seconds on my dashboard. I didn't have to hit refresh or anything.
That's crazy.
And then you just start streaming the movie. They've got about, I think, 12,000 titles in standard definition, then another 300 titles so far in high definition that you can watch. And what's really cool, I can go on all day about this, so stop me, but what's really cool is when you're fast forwarding or you're going like tracking forward and backwards, it comes up with a little thumbnail view, and you can actually see keyframes from the various parts of the movie so that it makes it really easy for you to figure out, okay, what scene was I last watching or where do I want to jump to in the video.
It's kind of like instant chapters, basically.
So yeah, totally. Automatic.
Just like a DVD, but it's a streaming movie, so it gives you all that functionality just instantly.
Yep.
Wow.
So, cool stuff.
And new avatars as well.
Yeah, yeah.
I've heard rumors of your avatar wearing a trench coat and nothing else. That's what I heard.
He has glasses.
Oh, okay, of course.
Exactly, yeah.
And a fedora hat, of course.
That's right.
Other news is Windows Live OneCare, which happens to still be on the Microsoft Store. Somebody apparently didn't alert the store.
Everything must go.
That's right.
Is being discontinued, and now they're offering another tool called codename Moro, which will be a free tool for everyone
to
be able to use.
Moro was in Lord of the Rings. It was a hobbit or something.
So. No, I think it's... I don't know.
I thought it was a type of Cuban rice, but...
I thought it was the Madagascar Zorro? I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. Anyways, the crazy part is the statistic here, which is 60% of customers in developed nations, and even more in emerging countries, don't have AV.
Wow.
Any antivirus software. 60%, that's crazy. Like, we think of, like, everybody at this point has to have antivirus.
Yeah.
No, they don't.
Yeah. And so Moro is going to offer that. Is that what I'm hearing?
So it's completely free, and one of the things they've been doing is optimizing it for performance reasons, right? Because they really want it to be low overhead in terms of anybody can load it on, and especially in emerging markets where viruses and stuff and Trojans and botkits are really popular.
Yeah.
So.
But it says I love you.
Yeah, that's right. It's got to be
exactly.
friendly.
Yeah. So interesting news there. Now, on to some other interesting news is Zune Pass.
Right. Do you want to talk about this one?
Yeah, Zune Pass. So basically, you guys have a Zune, I'm sure, and so you can pay, what is it, $10 a month?
$15 a month in the US.
$15 a month, and you can download all the music that you want, unlimited, you know, but you don't own the licensing to it. So what Microsoft's kind of done is basically allow you now to keep 10 songs as if you owned it, like you went out and bought them each month. So in addition to getting all the music you want each month, just to listen to, you know, and putting something else in your queue and download and update your playlist, you're going to be able to actually own 10 of those songs. So now you get to gradually build a collection over, you know, several months.
Yeah, it's hotness. I mean, if you already spend $15 a month buying one CD a month, then really this pays for itself. Because you can effectively go get that CD and also have access to Zune Pass, which has just tons of content. Now, not all the content, kind of like Netflix streaming, not all the content on Zune is also available for Zune Pass. It just is subject to the licensing. But I found, in my experience, about 80% of it is. And for the other ones, you know, you can just go pay for them a la carte.
And then again, you're getting the songs that you want. So it's not like you're buying a CD where you like 2 out of 15. So.
Yeah, totally.
Exactly.
Yep.
Awesome.
Yeah, very cool stuff.
Good stuff.
So, pretty smart move there by those guys. Other news, Omar Shaheen's blog had this great post going through some of the announcements that you and Nick went through for Windows Live last week. And some of the interesting points that I saw in his post were the New York Times, and New York Times doing an analysis of what they call Social Inbox 2.0. Mm-hmm. And it's Yahoo, Google, and Microsoft competing. How do they make their existing assets into social networks in much the same way that Facebook has? And like their declaration is there is a winner, and it's Microsoft, like
Sweet.
The stuff that they've done already. So I read through Omar's blog. You get to hear sort of the inside scoop of what it's like to work on the team. Their team is really energized right now. They're seeing like big wins. And Omar actually says there's two words behind it too, and it was Steve Sinofsky. So I don't know if he's just throwing out credit or what, but this is
it's
just
coming up on review time.
Yeah. Grease the old.
Yeah.
That's right.
So, always really interesting to hear sort of the play by play of somebody from the team on what they're going through. And also great to see like independent third parties see that we win.
Yep. So nice work, guys.
Yeah.
Live Search API version 2.0.
Yes. So this is really cool, some of the new stuff they've added. So I've programmed their APIs before, and one of the things that I didn't like is, one, they always had SOAP APIs. Mm-hmm. So if you just want to do plain old XML, Restian style, or JSON, like they just didn't have those, they've added those ways to program their APIs. Mm-hmm. The other thing is they actually had a query limit, so you could only query a certain amount.
Oh, it's like 1,000 a day?
Around there. It's probably a good estimate. So they've completely removed that, and I think it's in their terms of use, it says it has to be a customer-facing site, so it can't be like some analytics engine that you're plugging into.
Right.
Or, I don't know, a competitor stealing search results or something like that.
Right.
But as long as you can agree to those terms, then boom, you can use their search engine as much as you want. And the other cool part is they've actually changed the way their API works, so you can actually say what kinds of results you want. So this is really big and really makes the life of a developer that much easier, because you can say whether I just want news results, mm-hmm. web results, image results, or just use their phone book. I mean, you could imagine just building a mobile application that allows you to easily search the live services phone book service and just adding that into any application, like so, whether it's a GPS application for find nearest, you know, restaurant, you can easily plug that in. Pretty impressive stuff.
So the beta's available now.
Beta's available now.
Okay.
Program now. Yes.
Cool.
Yeah.
So, Code Project, Pan and Tilt using Lego NXT. Now, I know you do a ton of stuff with robots.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you ever use the Lego NXT kits?
We played around with it for a couple of competitions, mainly for some of our younger students that come through the college. But Lego's got just a wide array of components available and kits that really can get pretty much anyone into the robotics game very easily and for very low price mark. So, definitely, we played around when I was in South Korea, actually, this past summer. We went to an institute down there, I think it was in Pohon in South Korea, and they had a whole learning lab that was set up that used Lego NXT, and kids ranging from third grade up through, you know, high school would go in there and basically build, you know, custom robots. So this is kind of a really cool project that they have going on. off a code project. Pan tilts, if you're in the business and you ever have to use that type of hardware, those are actually generally very expensive pieces of technology. And so this is just remarkable what they put together here. I don't know, you guys have any other comments, I guess?
Yeah, so go out to Code Project, download all the samples and
follow along. Yeah, codes in C Sharp.
Nice.
It's cool stuff.
Yeah. I built one in Fidgets a while ago.
Yeah, but that ago. And that was like $120
kit. Yeah, all
the
parts were like $120. So.
So yeah, so think about that same thing where you buy an NXT kit for like $150.
Yeah. Then you can do a lot of stuff with it.
Yeah.
Cool. Micro spotting.
Yeah. So in that top left corner, you can see us and the Nine Guy making it onto
micro spotting. Makes it on micro spotting.
Yes.
Very cool. We need a micro spotting T-shirt for the Nine Guy.
Yeah, actually, like a tremendous size Iron
awesome.
The Empire.
Yep.
Ah, that's brilliant. We should definitely do that. So
thanks, Ariel.
Yes. Always shouts out. Another cool part that I saw was Rico Mariani's blog, and he started talking about the Visual Studio Technology Roadmap. Mm-hmm. So for those of you who don't know, Rico Mariani is the Visual Studio architect, like the architect of how the tools are being built. And he takes a long-term view on what things they can do between multiple releases. So he's actually looking for the next like three releases, what's the technology they can do, and you can get the key themes that they're doing. Obviously this post is probably slightly geared more towards Visual Studio 2010 mm-hmm. and the immediate stuff that they're doing. So how do you modernize the editor, adding WPF? How do you add extensibility and make extensibility easy, but at the same time keep compatibility so it doesn't break everything? And some of the announcements we've seen with the MEF, Managed Extensibility Framework for drag and drop. There's a great video where Soma actually extends Visual Studio.
Nice.
Using WPF.
Nice. Side note, we went to see Quantum of Solace on Saturday night, and Soma sat right next to Steve. Yeah.
Oh, really?
I'm like, hey, that's the corporate vice president for DevDiv. Like,
did he recognize you? Or?
No, I kind of kept a low profile.
Yeah, I tried to give him extra elbow room. I didn't want to, get anyone upset, you know?
But yeah, it's really, I love this stuff. It's such an interesting problem space to how do you evolve Visual Studio, because it's a tool that's used by so many people, but it's also extended on by hundreds of partners. And so you've got to not only, push the envelope in terms of the way that Microsoft builds and offers it, but like you said, you also have to keep that extensibility platform there so that we don't go break 100 partners' apps just because, we're moving on to the next greatest thing. So
yeah, Enrico takes a very sort of realistic viewpoint. He's like, if we kept everything in native C++, yes, it would be faster, but there are trade-offs you do want to make in terms of productivity, in terms of the user experience that you can provide, where WPF does make sense, to take that as a big investment for Visual Studio.
Yep, just like Expression has.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So cool stuff. Definitely check out Rico's blog.
Cool.
Another one was a site called On Microsoft that actually launched around PDC, and these are a series of interviews. Channel 9-ish, shall
we
say?
Seems like we got some competition here.
Oh, my God.
What's going on?
No, we got plenty of love for videos. But this goes through a bunch of videos, and I'm trying to think. Casey Wallina, for people that know Christoph. Ted Neuer did a bunch of interviews, mm-hmm. and this includes team .NET Framework team, BCL team, and some of the language teams as well. So if you're interested in looking for even more videos, definitely check out On Microsoft.
Okay, but if they do a This Week on Microsoft, they get a lawsuit on their hands.
That's right. The one, the only.
Yes.
That would be funny. So another cool part is that Channel 9 actually got user-generated CSS extensions.
Yeah, this is hotness.
Yeah. Yeah, so the two themes here are ones that Jamie built, but Duncan and team built in your profile, you can actually set CSS tags, and mm-hmm. they have a number of defined tags and even ways to in Duncan's example, he shows how to like hide a user.
Oh, really?
For example, so nice. There's a number of extensibility points, shall we say, for the CSS in specific classes. So it's pretty cool stuff.
And then I guess you can share your style sheets with other people, or just at least be able to copy and paste share?
Yeah. Okay. So you can customize channel. So if you really don't like the way Channel 9 looks, you can build it yourself.
Gotcha.
I'm thinking monster truck show theme. Oh, yeah. Sunday. So, and I love the themes Jamie's done, and looking forward to see what other people can design as well.
Yeah, definitely.
So, speaking of videos, Brian Beckman. Mm-hmm. So, you know everything about state monads, right?
We were just talking about state monads.
Yeah, I think it was, of course.
Yeah.
Of course. It was, yeah.
Yeah, so, I know nothing about state monads. Yeah, I'm sure that Charles and Brian would teach me everything I need to know here.
Yeah, so there's a two-part series. I love Brian Beckman videos. He's just a super interesting guy, and it's great to have him online. This is talking about concurrency. And it's a two-part video series, but definitely
now,
check
last,
it out.
The last time I started to watch a Brian Beckman video, it turned out to be an April Fool's joke. So is this real? Is this legitimate? I mean, well, we would never know.
Well, we're in November, so...
Yeah.
He's got a lot of that truthiness, too, where he could talk enough and it would just... You'd be convinced that it was real.
Yep.
Nice.
Cool.
So, Picks of the Week. Yeah, buddy.
Wrath of the Lich King.
Yes. So,
I have to ask, did you really get in a car accident, or did you just stay home playing Warcraft?
I drove my car off a cliff just to be able to
How you doing, by the way?
I'm doing good.
Good.
Taking a couple vikes.
Nice.
You know.
So, but you've also been playing Warcraft, as we can tell.
Here's the problem.
Jeff watches the show, you don't want to admit to playing Warcraft.
Nobody watches the show, Brian. That's silly.
Your mom watches the show. Yeah.
No, the wife. I can only play when the wife is there.
Okay.
She doesn't want me to get ahead in the game.
Oh.
So, but honestly, we've been so busy.
That was part of your vows?
It's terrible. It's absolutely terrible.
Up, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, last night, you know, she wants to call it at 9:45. I'm like, we can play for another hour and 15 minutes. And no.
Hmm.
No.
Nope.
I can't get ahead of her.
No. Okay. So all right. So tell us what this is
why.
About. What does this have to do with developers?
So, I am excited for World of Warcraft Wrath of the Lich King playing. Yeah, I mean, the one thing that I look back on is how great an investment the Blizzard team made in making the game extensible, mm-hmm. and they have thousands and thousands of functions, and it has to be the most popular extensible game on the planet. So in terms of total number of users, sales, and in any way or benchmark.
You don't think Half-Life maybe is up there?
No.
Okay.
In terms of number 10 million.
Okay. Yeah, probably.
And that was at one point sequentially as opposed to all time.
Got it.
So, it would be really interesting to see how many people have ever played World of Warcraft,
right.
Which I think would be even higher number. So anyways, the other thing is obviously add on a studio for World of Warcraft, an IDE, which is a Visual Studio extension that we're working on to address and make add-on building easier is coming as well.
And you've got your book that is coming out soon, which talks about,
yes.
which covers how to use the add-on studio for World of Warcraft to build your first Lua script plugin, right?
Yes, we build an RSS reader. So you can, and we'll be plugging the hell out of the book.
Yep, I'm sure we'll have future episodes here.
December 5th is the date, so mark your calendars.
Nice.
Very nice.
Good stuff. Enough about my pick, but great game.
Yeah, so my pick of the week, you know, being the team system guy, we talked a few weeks ago about the Visual Studio Team System Power Tools, the new ones that came out in October, I think it was.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And as part of that, one of the features is the ability for you to easily interface with other people on the team. Let's say that you make a code check-in, and I want to see if you're online to say, hey, why did you just check in this piece of code, right? That hooks up to a couple of providers, one being Windows Communicator, one being MSN Messenger, but that's also extensible as well. So what we're starting to see is there's a CodePlex project, which now hosts other extensible providers, and the first of those to show up is Skype interface. So now I can get you on Skype and say, why did you check in this bad code? So you can't run for me.
Exactly.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it's totally awesome.
So I'm making phone calls from Visual Studio?
Yeah, pretty much. Exactly.
Wow.
That is yep. scary.
So go check out that. It plugs in as a provider and hooks up to Skype, and you're good to go.
That's pretty awesome.
Yep.
Very cool.
And that's from Greg Duncan's blog, by the way. Pointing that out.
Yeah. And this is your pick of the week.
Showtime.
That's so this is robotic-assisted convoy operation?
Exactly. So as part of the work that I do at the University of Florida, we work with the Air Force Research Lab and also the Tank Automotive Research Development Engineering Center. It's a heck of an acronym. And basically, we try to automate basically transport vehicles. And the idea is to try and take the soldier off the battlefield, make it a little bit safer, you know, to ship supplies from A to B. Mm-hmm. So what we use is a series of these infrared emitters. Basically, they're really bright infrared flashlights. We orient them in a vertical pattern. And what these allow us to do is at night, during the day, doesn't matter, we're able to actually extract these two points. And so actually we wrote a bunch of software.
C-sharp Windows Forms.
That's right. So we use the C-sharp Windows Form. We're actually, you know, grabbing frames at about 60 frames a second, processing it, doing things like contour matching and clustering and association. And we're actually able to estimate what the range and the angle to the lead vehicle is. And so from this, we have a very lightweight, very low-cost effective solution to automate two transport vehicles to follow each other. So actually just last week I was out in Nevada doing some testing in the desert, which is, you know, kind of like the classic Area 51 experience, you know.
Oh, yeah?
No little aliens, though, so we didn't see many of those. But here actually the trucks are running, so you can actually see the follower, the rear view vehicle here is actually chasing the lead vehicle using just vision and C-sharp.
Okay.
And so it's actually changing lanes. We're going about 28 miles an hour right now. So
cool.
It's not too bad. It's kind of a first test with it. So, again, but it was just so easy to develop using C-sharp. You know, the time frame normally to do something like this would be 6 to 12 months. We did it in about 3. So
wow. That's awesome.
Really quick turnaround.
What I think is really cool here is it's not when the lead vehicle moves over to the lane,
yeah.
It's not like the follower moves over to that lane immediately.
Yes.
It waits until, like you'll see right here, it waits until it gets to the same point that lead vehicle moved into the lane, and then it moves over.
Exactly.
So like if you're driving around a barrel or something like that, or an alien in Area 51, you're
That's
not going
right.
to hit it, right?
That's right. So it actually drives over the same patch of terrain that the leader went through. The concept is if the lead truck could go there, then it's probably safe for the follower.
That is awesome.
So it's very cool.
Now, how do you get around? I mean, you said that these are LEDs that you use, or
yes.
What is that?
These are infrared LEDs,
okay.
And so basically they're generally non-visible. They're just outside of what a human can see.
Okay.
At night, you might be able to see a slight red glow if you like put your eyeball right up to it.
Sure.
But again, you probably wouldn't want to do that for very long. So what we actually have is just a camera that can see into that range of the electromagnetic spectrum. I'm going to get all techie here.
Right.
And what we're able to do then is, because we can block out pretty much all the rest of the light using a filter, we can, you know, focus in just on these specific targets and try and get rid of things like the sun and reflections and stuff in the background. And that gives us a really great picture day or night.
We do that in Seattle 9 months out of the year, is get rid
yes,
of the sun.
That's yeah. right. That's right. I'm learning, you know,
yep.
kind of trying to get used to it. So actually what that allows us to do, then we actually put these two points kind of, you know, one on top of the other. Mm-hmm. And that actually works out really well because we can judge the distance between the two targets. And we have a model that we built actually very quickly. It was not difficult to do. That allowed us to basically estimate, based on what that separation is, how far away that vehicle is,
right.
And based on where in the image it is, what's the angle to it. So now we know range, we know angle, we know where we need to drive.
Seems like basic trigonometry at
exactly,
that point.
Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly. But it's just, you know, implementing it
in code. Just a 3-ton truck. What could possibly go wrong?
Oh, exactly. You know, actually, a company that we're teamed with, I'm sure the logo flashed up there, Autonomous Solutions out of Utah. They actually built a similar system. That's their truck, actually, that uses a physical tether. It's actually just a cable connecting the leader and the follower, and it produces the same output. But what we're finding is that some people don't like the idea of having a physical connection between the two. So really, our system, the development that we've done, is to replace that with a, you know, no strings attached solution. Mm-hmm. So
what would happen, for example, if you know, there's an enemy that sees, okay, you've got this infrared tracking system, and then all of a sudden they flash the same frequency of infrared and try to get your convoy to follow them into a trap or something?
Exactly. Well, there's two levels of security, if you want to call it that, that mm-hmm. we operate at. One is that it's not just beaming of data back and forth. We do transfer information from the leader to the follower. So things like, are they in contact? Can the followers see the leader and stuff like that? So if, you know, something did happen, the lead vehicle would actually be notified. On the other side, too, is that when we're doing the image processing to find the targets, we actually search in specific areas of the image and then predict where it will be in the next image based on what the leader's velocity was.
Okay.
So we can actually say, you know, I'm pretty certain last time he was here, and then so he should be here in the next frame. So we start our search there.
Wow.
So even if someone turned on another set of lights that looked exactly the same and put it in the frame, unless it was right on top of the other lights,
right.
we would pretty much just, you know, ignore it. So.
Right. That's
so
cool.
It works out pretty
very
cool.
Very cool.
Awesome. Yeah. Saving lives with C# and Windows 4.
That's right, man.
Done that. Yeah. That's
excellent.
Very cool. Google thanks for being on the show.
Hey,
good luck with the project. Yeah.
All right.
Cool. Thanks, everyone.
See you next week.
Okay. Right.